Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. This is the People in Perspective show, and this is Saul Rosenberg, and thank you for joining us. And we've just had Peter Fine on, who is a CCMA practitioner. We're talking about the health and safety aspects, the legal aspects of health and safety in the work environment, since we've now been spending potentially more time in the office than we were 2 years ago. And what exactly that means during the summertime, people have got a lot of energy, they're going to the office more. So we looked at the incidence of being injured at work, and so he helped us understand that with three different acts, Occupational Health and Safety Act being a major one, and the Compensation Act, which is called COIDA. Those are the two important ones that you need to look out for. So what we're going to do now is go to the psychological part of being in the office more. So, you know, there's been, you know, mixed feelings about spending half your time in the office. What is the impact of the physical office environment on your mental health? So actually physically being in the office, you know, what aspects should we be considering with regards to our mental health? So we're going to go to Ilana Su, who's an industrial psychologist. Hello, Ilana. Did I pronounce your surname right?
You did. Thank you, Saul.
Great. Ilana, so this whole sort of phenomenon of now going back into being back at the office has been there for about a year or two now, but the physical environment that we're now in, I think, has got a lot more of an empathic type of emphasis point for companies to exert. Is that what's happening?
So absolutely. So what has happened, two things actually have happened.
Yeah.
The first one is a number of companies have kept their hybrid model,
yeah,
where you spend some time in the office and some time at home, because it worked. Employees were equally productive at home. Some of them were more productive at home.
Mm.
And little mental health issues such as work-life balance seem to align themselves.
Yeah.
You know, we saw an increase in productivity at home, then a decrease, and now it's balanced itself out nicely.
Mm.
The other thing that happened is when we came back to work, people were more human, because we had all been through something together which somehow united us.
So this idea that, you know, humanity is important, I think, is yeah, it's what should be emphasized, because the fact that, you know, a certain proportion of the work is now being delegated to AI, means that we have to refine what it means to be, why is it important to be human?
100%. 100%. And I think probably the simplest answer for that is, as much as you can delegate to AI,
yeah,
it's the human decision-making capacity that differentiates us from any form of AI. You know, technology will spurt out the answer that you program it to do, whereas human beings will be able to integrate their knowledge and experience and behavioral factors and then compute their own decision, if I can call it that. And that's where the mental health becomes so important, because when we're in an environment that respects mental health, we tend to reduce stress and absenteeism. Our productivity goes up. All those factors, which are human elements, and creativity, then breeds a motivation.
So it seems like the compartments are happening. So whatever is going to be machine orientated is going to be machine orientated, and whatever is going to be sort of human orientated is going to be human orientated. It feels like there's a sort of compartment. Things are going that in those two physical directions. But what happens when we look at people in terms of their relationship with technology? Mm-hmm. So actually physically sitting at the desk with your computer all the time. You know, we had a guest on here a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about this issue where, you know, if you are utilizing technology in the office constantly, and then you go into the car and you're on the phone, and then you get home and you check your email, and then you're watching, you're watching HDTV, and your TV might be probably a smart TV. And then you wake up in the morning and you check your email again, or you check Facebook, and then you see how many likes you got. You know, so it's totally addictive.
Absolutely.
So certain parts of the brain, I have to say, you know, is in. I just have this, you know, this feeling that even since COVID, you know, I don't think we may have fully recovered in terms of spatial awareness, the parts of the brain that govern spatial awareness, you know, in terms of I'm actually physically at a place doing work. I mean, what do you think about that?
I agree 100%. I think that from a physical point of view, we've seen a lot more ailments in terms of backache and neck stress, eye deterioration from looking at screens all the time.
Yeah.
So there were those physical, which leads to the mental, because when you're not feeling well physically, you tend to slip into a depression or demotivation, yeah. Those sorts of things. I agree, there's no doubt that we haven't recovered from COVID.
Mm.
It shifted a lot of our mindsets. For some people, they were desperate for the human interaction, and for a lot of people, they enjoyed the isolation.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself has a lot of negative mental health effects and relationship damages.
Part of
working with other people is being able to foster relationships, and those personal relationships, not via a computer where you could be WhatsApping in the background. And we all know. Yeah. We all know that when you're looking at a screen, sometimes people's eyes wander because they're reading emails.
Yes.
Whereas face-to-face, you're engaged, you're present.
So it's this idea of relationships as being the answer to some of these stressful things is that the relationship somebody's essentially having is with the technology that they've got.
Mm.
And it's not with a person. So my projection is that over a sort of a projected period of time, that is where you would find burnout happening, is because you are essentially not engaging with a person, you're engaging with something else, and the lack of a real relationship leads to burnout.
Well, the lack of a relationship, Saul, is firstly a lack of support,
yeah.
Human support. There is the isolation. It's a completely different culture.
Mm.
So you no longer have shared values and norms with other people.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with a machine. And it has been proven that when you spend more time on technology, you lose the ability to interact with people.
Yes.
Which is obviously detrimental. We social beings, you know, we attend community gatherings, we bump into people in the shops, and it's, you know, you have that moment of happiness when you see other people. And to a large extent, we're ordering online, and we're losing that.
Yeah. So it's the fact that there should be a relationship in our work environment that kind of governs the decisions that we have is the kicker. You know, this we've got potentially two conflicting trends in society, where we've got the one is to, you know, and they you know are potentially creating a conflict of values where you know, you on the one hand you're being told to do everything yourself and be on your own. Millennials, you know, the millennial generation are the key sufferers of that. And Gen Z doesn't really know any different to that. That's their epoch. I mean, that's their environment. which is this belief that you essentially are on your own. And so we've got these two conflicting beliefs that need to be ameliorated, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well, there's another side to it, and that is that some people flourish in competitive environments, and some people will only stretch themselves and have growth and development when they're around other people. Yeah. You don't have the motivation, you know, and when you collaborate, you know, it's suddenly you come up with different ideas in that collaboration. What you've said about the Gen Z, you know, they're very, and I'm using it broadly, but very focused on positive mental health. But exactly what you've said, it's very isolated. I'm taking a me day. I'm taking time to think through my life, to find new direction, but it's all on my own. It's all about me.
Yes.
I'm not sitting and talking to my group of friends and seeing how they're feeling.
Yeah. Now, that is the biggest shift, I think, that we've had in the last sort of 30 to 50 years in terms of the way business happens and the way people conduct themselves. Is the shift from an external point of authority to a centralized point of saying, no, I am the point of decision making, you know?
Yes.
And companies are trying to adopt to that. It's the agile, so-called agile work environment, which is supposed to be compatible with the view of reality of being centered and multidimensional, as opposed to being, sort of linear. So, these are the new ideas that, you know, everyone who's sort of under 30 will understand very well, and even under 40. So I think if it's the new way of doing things that, you know, people who are, say, over 65 or over 50, they will, that is the struggle that they've had to, you know, to try and, I would say, to try and adjust to this idea of being the central locale of decision making ability.
Well, Saul, if you go through the generational trends, you know, most people, you say over 60, they'll come from a hierarchical structure.
Yeah.
They'll come from a place of respect. I mean, most parents will tell you they would never have spoken to their parents the way the children speak to them. Mm. That's part of that Gen Z culture. That's part of I'm autonomous. You can't tell me what to do. I'll come to work 2 hours late because I had to do gym, and that's what I'm going to do. And there are no consequences. A lot of companies are struggling with that, because when you have a staff component of 20 Gen Zs who are all doing what they want to do, it's impossible to manage.
Yeah. So I think it's in terms of the, you know, the impact on routine and how things happen, you know, and you know, how things are, you know, talking to the listeners out there, you know, what is the experience that you're having in this, you know, with this, you know, are you in a work environment that encourages you to sit on your own? Are you sort of encouraged to sit with a group of people? Send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019. That's the WhatsApp line. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got Ilana So, who's with, you know, talking with us about the impact of being in the physical environment 2 years and more than 2 years after COVID. What does that actually mean in terms of the impact on our emotional health, as it were? So, Ilana, the other thing is, you know, there's also these two different ideas in the hybrid workplace, where on the one hand they're asking us to be, now instead of being linear and sort of cubicled as we were in, you know, which was part of the whole modernist era work environment, you know, we're now being encouraged to be collaborative. So it's the shift from centralized thinking to decentralized thinking. If you're going to work, and you know, for some people it's been kind of normalized to be sitting next to somebody as opposed to sitting on your own. But on the other hand, you're being told to be on your own. I mean, what are the sort of conflicts in that scenario?
So I'll tell you the biggest conflict that I've seen is during COVID, a number of corporates downsized their office space.
Yeah.
And the result was when people came back to work, there were open plan, exactly what you've said. Open plan, no cubicles. And for some of my clients, they aren't even designated desks because people aren't there all day, every day. So you take whatever desk is available.
Yeah.
And that has taken away from people a sense of place in the workplace.
Yeah.
It's also taken away a desire to interact with other people because I'm trying to establish myself. And therefore, I'm going to go internally rather than externally. And if I do interact with others, it's done far more on a social level. We'll meet at the coffee station rather than we'll collaborate in a work environment. Mm. So that shifted. Whereas before, you would quickly have coffee and sit in a meeting. Now we do our work on our own.
Right.
We email each other what we've done, and then we'll go and sit and chat and have coffee. So that's sort of turned around.
So it seems to be the case of ever greater, you know, the point is where are we going, Ilana? You know, so what direction are we heading? And I think if you follow the line of the trajectory of technology, things are heading towards personalization, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
You know, app development, technological advances, everything's becoming far more and more personal and more about you as an individual. And it's becoming much easier to do things at the touch of, you know, just touch of a button where, you know, somebody actually doesn't need to physically get up and make a phone call and talk to somebody and do that. But that becomes problematic because then you lose the awareness or the skills to be able to do that.
Well, you lose the awareness of the skills and you also lose the brilliance that other people bring you because you can Google everything. So as you've said, we don't need to leave our desks.
Yeah.
Anything I want to know, I can Google or YouTube.
That's it.
But then I'm missing out on an idea or an experience that another person's had that will add value to my life. It's done in a, if I can use the term, thorough way. Mm. It's not done with any kind of emotion or engagement.
Yes. So it's, I think the way we think about relationships at work has to get reevaluated by all levels of generational levels, is that we have to remember the importance of human relationships between people more than ever now. You know, it's that everything is pointing us in the way of being on our own, but essentially what makes us happy is when we're not on our own.
Yeah. Because we've now become used to that.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the teenagers, because during those developmental phases, that's when they were addicted to their cell phones and not socializing. And that's the next generation going into the workforce. Hmm.
Ilana, we're going to have to leave it then, go to an ad break. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we hope to have you back soon.